Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas. Well, if you watched last week's show, you know that we got interrupted by some form of government entity. They're everywhere, quite frankly. On today's show, if all goes well, we'll explain what happened. Plus, if we can, we'll do real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and trust me, I can use a drink on me. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast where...
What the...
Let's get started.
Got a little man that laughs at his own opens.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. And that was awesome.
You must watch the previous episode to understand.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah,
that
that's
groovy
where.
Little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. Mm. The Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
The singer brother Scotty.
Mr. Scott Whitney.
You made it.
Man, I'm telling you what.
I've never been waterboarded before. It was very close.
Let me tell you something about waterboarding. I lost a few pounds because I shit myself. But other than that, I don't like waterboarding. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast, where it's already gone off the rails here at the Vegas Video Network. And congratulations to you who are watching or listening right now. Why? Because, well, you're listening to or watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from
Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. And it's hosted by two guys who've had over 30 years of experience living here in the Las Vegas, which means that not only do we cover what it's like to live here, but we've got adventures. Oh, we're an adventurous group, we two.
We had one last
Clearly,
week.
Clearly, we've got the government chasing after. We've been downtown. We're on the strip. We're all over the valley. We're telling you what it's like to live here and what it's like to move here. And by the way, come here, real closer. Just give me a second. If you're a tourist or a fan of the city, we're going to give you a magical secret handshake that will make you the grooviest person in the whole world. Hey, I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. I actually run the Vegas Video Network, and I'm super happy to have you here. I can say konnichiwa, buenas noches, donde los baños, por favor. But I don't do it by myself, no, and I don't even want to try anymore. I'm so enamored by this young man. Oh, sure. And it's not a gay thing, and it's not wrong if it is, by the way, but I think he's kind of attractive guy. No, actually, we call him RQS. We call him Drinky Pants. He's actually the managing partner of KSHP Radio. We know him as... Brett Grant, everybody.
Hey, hi, everybody. How you doing? I appreciate that introduction. Remind me not to drop the soap. Good to see you there, Mr. Whitney. How you doing? I do have to tell folks, after the show's over...
I'm a little bit more paranoid than I used to be.
If you are a sports fan and are interested in handicapping information, I know you are... A novice who likes to dabble and at least learn more about it.
I like to learn more. I don't dabble in it.
In fact, when you were over with Scott Pritchard's show at the radio station, yep. Dink was somebody who came in quite a bit.
He did.
We have a new show on the radio station called
Are you pitching your show?
Well, it's not
on my network?
I'm part of the show. I just want to tell you about a new show. I think we talk about your shows, Danny's show quite a bit, other new shows on your network.
It's my network.
It is, but I'm a valuable part of your network.
This is okay. Go ahead and pitch your show.
10 p.m. after our show. 10 p.m. Weeknights on AM 1400. Also, you can do it on your iPhone KSHP app. You can do it on your Google Play Android app. You can go to kshp.com and get great information at 10 p.m. Monday through Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. You hear that sound?
That is money.
That's me charging you for advertising here.
They gave out two plays last night. And they were both money.
Okay, so that's okay. just going to keep that in mind when it comes time to paying you for being on the big show.
I appreciate the opportunity to be able to do this.
Hey, what's our over-under today? You got it right last week.
I hit it last week. Now, of course, it was my own personal sabotage that made it happen.
We don't talk about why yet.
There are ways to make a bet.
We don't talk about why. What's our over-under today?
Johnny from Airplane?
Please, please, please quit touching.
I took that out.
The fuck is that?
I was laying right here.
I'm kidding.
The over-under, we're going to go with, how about 1 hour and 20 minutes?
I accept your over and under.
All right. That's 180, right? That's 80.
It's 80. If it's 180, we have gone.
We just did a 180 from last
week. Somebody's login is 6 minutes in.
That's what she said.
All right. So I think that's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I'm going to say that's like Ted or somebody.
Whoever it is. But you know what? You get secret points. You probably don't know this, but we have secret chat points for people.
Right.
We send them prizes. Now, they don't know that because we actually haven't sent a prize yet. but you get a secret prize for being six minutes in. All right. So for those of you who had a chance to watch our show last week, and this is on the on-demand version, either the audio or the video, you probably noticed that after exposing my background in the military as a, quote, voice processor, which is in essence a spy, we were taken off the air. And it was an absolutely freakish thing that happened. So what was really going on for us here was Brett and I were talking. We're doing the show. We started getting into Have a Drink on Me. And on my browser in front of me, I saw a little NSA pop-up. So this thing came up, and I'm like, well, that's weird. And I've been having some adware problems on this laptop. So I thought, oh, jeez, it's that again. So I see this pop-up, and then I see some interference, and I see the same thing over on the TriCaster. I'm like, what's going on? And then basically an official thing pops up and goes, nope, that we're going to nope you, and we're not going to let this happen. And so they took us off the air. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's never really happened before. How can that be okay? And the answer is, it doesn't really matter if it's okay if the NSA or the government says, we're just taking you off the air because you're not supposed to share that stuff. So anyways, that's what we were dealing with. Now, luckily, we had some video intact. The way the TriCaster works is even if it gets shut off, whatever it records, it stopped recording. And we were also recording some stuff on live stream. So I had some stuff, and that's how we were able to put something out last week. So that's the story that we wanted to use.
I had 30 hours of interrogation afterwards for crying
right.
out loud.
Right. Come to find out, anal probes aren't as bad as they sound.
I'm glad I have a port in my arm because they didn't have to, stick a vein. They already have one. Right. So it was good for me to, when they were doing the IVs and truth serum, I didn't have to worry about anything extra being plugged into me.
Yeah, so it looked bad, and that's a pretty cool story. But that is completely a lie. Here's what actually happened. It just got too hot. And the TriCaster said,
go fuck yourself.
Nope.
I'm done.
We're done. And it shut off, which was a real shame, quite frankly, because we had other things to talk about. Some very important things that we will now reveal. That story I told last week, the Air Force story,
right.
was
about your show.
About the show that I was going to put on, right. that I pitched on for the strip. I had several people say that was interesting, and I had one say, that's very interesting, let's move forward. And then I told you Sergeant Combs, actually Chief Master Sergeant Combs, said, you're not going to be able to do that show. That was all a lie.
What do you mean it was all a lie?
All of it was a lie.
You made the whole fucking thing up?
So, well, this is what's so funny about it. By the way, Oscar goes to Brett because he didn't know it was a lie. But after we were done, he asked me about it. And I said, yeah, no, I made all that shit up.
But the funny thing was, you had talked about this the week before that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the fact that you made up the story for the show. Yeah. You had thought about it at least a week before that the entire show was going to be based on a fraudulent story.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to give you credit for being a devious bastard.
How great was that?
Like the new Mr. Evil.
I got to tell you, that last week, was really fun.
Oh, no, like, wonder your wife doesn't trust you.
By the way, when I told
or
Melissa,
which wife?
I'm Melissa, sorry. Melissa. When I told her, I said, you know, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna lie, and she got a little angry. She's like, "Why would you do that?"
Right.
It's for the show.
She's a Midwestern girl.
You really shouldn't do that. It's for the fucking show. It's the joke. Okay, so we're gonna actually. I'm gonna pull this thing back and tell you what was true and what was not true. So true, I actually was in the Air Force.
Well, yeah, we knew that. We saw the picture of it.
Right. True, I was a guy, a sergeant. It wasn't Combs. I just made that name up. But I was joined about 9 days into basic training, and I was asked if I wanted to be a voice processor.
Okay,
that was true. And a voice processor is a language thing. All they do is learn another language. It is has nothing to do with that other thing that I talked about reading your face and reading the inflection. That was all bullshit. But it was about, you know, learning a language. So as a matter of fact, my first wife was a voice processor for a while.
Oh.
And she spoke Russian. So he came to me and goes, he pulled me aside and goes, so, you know, we're asking about the voice processor. He goes, can I ask you a couple of questions? I'm like, well, yeah, of course you can. He goes, I know what you told your recruiter when you signed up, but, you know, have you ever smoked pot? And I went, I know what you told your recruiter. You said that you didn't, but now you're going to tell me the truth. I'm like, ooh, you're kind of spooky. I find you unpleasant already. I was like, well, you know, I was more of a drinker than I was a pot smoker. But yeah, you know, I might have one. I might get high. And I might smoke it once every couple weeks, maybe. It just wasn't our thing. He goes, wait. He goes, hold on. Were you in high school? I don't know. You know, 3 years. He goes, okay, hold on. And he goes, well, so that means you smoke pot approximately 455 times or whatever the number was. I'm like, fuck. I'm a stoner. And he goes, and that was it. That conversation was done.
Wow.
He goes, okay, thanks.
So now you're not eligible to do it because of that.
Because of that one thing. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you should ask me how much I drank. Yeah,
exactly.
Because I'll put you under the table.
You're
going to
be our field sobriety guy. Right. That's what you're going to be doing.
So all those things that I talked about with regards to the training and all that was all a lie. So the trick, those tricks were just standard
Card tricks.
And I'm going to show you how I did
it. You told me them both last week. I showed you one of mine.
Yep. I showed Brett how to do this. I'm going to show you how to do it as well. Now, what makes that, by the way, I've done this story to other people as well. People who've been in the studio.
Right.
Like customers. And it has floored them every single time because the I'm a spy and the 19 things. And people are like, oh, that's pretty creepy. But it was all bullshit. So the first thing I did was I said to Brett, okay, I'm going to do this with the cards. I want you to stop me when you want to stop me, and I'm going to show you the next card. So in magic, this is called a Hindu shuffle. And what this the technique in magic is called a force. So I'm actually forcing him to pick the card that I want him to pick. He has no say in the matter. So the way it works, let me see if this is a better shot. Yeah, kind of better. So the way it works is, I'm pulling these cards from the top like this, but when he says stop, I'm showing the bottom card. So in this case, it's a what? Ten of hearts?
Correct.
So now I'm going to do the same thing again. He says stop. Doesn't matter where he says stop, it will always be the ten of hearts. But the way that looks, it looks, I think this might be better here, it looks like I'm pulling out random cards. So it's a super effective force. So then I had him take the card from me. Here, take the card from me. Had him look at it. He showed you guys. I said, put it back anywhere you want. And at this point, he could have thrown the card away. It wouldn't have mattered. And then I did this thing where we actually didn't have it on camera. We screwed the camera. I screwed the camera up. What was happening was I was counting ace through king.
Right.
I was looking at him like, ace, two, three. And that was all complete BS. But you actually, your face did actually change on your card a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap, maybe I know how to do this. I might actually be a spy. Oh, shit. And then, so that was, in this case, it was a 10 of hearts. So what I did is I picked out two 10s in this case. And I decided I didn't want to have it look too obvious. So I took out like a 10 of diamonds and a 10 of hearts. I put them both down and I had them pick one. And I picked the wrong card on purpose.
Okay.
Because I wanted to look like, oh, I'm rusty.
I'm so close.
I'm not as good as I used to be. But the other, I did this basically. I put them both down. He picked one. It was the wrong card. I had the other one. I said, well, is that the one? Oh, golly gee. Yeah, it was. Yeah, no shit. So that was the first part. And then the second one, the second trick, this is a great trick for people to do. And you can do this over the phone if you want. So if you want to say I'm a mentalist or whatever. So what you do is you take the cards. And the first thing I asked them to do was I said, I just want you to take the cards, flip them over one at a time, and read the card out. And what I was saying was, I'm listening to your voice and I'm trying to find out your inflection. So in this case, he would say,
King of clubs.
King of clubs, and then
Ace of spades.
Right, and then
Six of hearts.
Right. So what's actually happening there is that very first card, the King of clubs, I memorized. So this was all just a ruse so I could remember what the top card was. That's all it was. And then I asked him, okay, pick any card you want. I don't care what it is. He picked a card, and then he found it in the deck. So let's say he picked the King of diamonds. And then I asked him to just put it on top of the deck. I know the card below it and do a single cut. Then what I had him do was flip it over and then just rattle off the cards. Well, I knew once he came to my card, the next card was his card. So I let him go a couple cards too far.
Yep.
So it felt like, oh, I'm really struggling to figure this out. I knew exactly what it was. Then I had him go back six cards or something like that. So it looked like I was close in figuring it out. But I knew the card the minute he said it. So those tricks are really super used magic tricks. But if you tell people you're a spy, it freaks them out.
Yes, very much so.
So that's it, folks. That's how I did it. Pretty cool, huh?
And I showed you my little trick, which actually had you a little dumbfounded there for a little while.
But mine's about trick.
It's math as opposed to magic.
Yeah.
And I still haven't figured out exactly how it works either.
It's because it's not real.
It is real.
It's all
it works
lies.
Every damn
time.
Oh,
I did want to say this about the TriCaster. There it is. Or on fire. I actually have a fan on top of it.
Are you sure
right
that's
now.
Not a forest in the west somewhere in Idaho?
Oh, no. But all I'm saying is I felt like, Jesus, could this get a little bit warmer? Piece of crap. All right. So that's what we did. That was it. You know, you had to check out the show last week, though, because we had everybody pretty much fooled on it, which was awesome for me. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with what? Oh,
really
real quick
stories.
This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Hey, Scott Whitney here for LASIK of Nevada. And I know what you're probably thinking, Scott, you're wearing glasses. What on earth can you tell me about LASIK? Well, let me tell you my story. So some time ago, I visited Dr. Rothman to see if I could have the LASIK procedure. Had a couple tests done and come to find out I wasn't a candidate. But instead of those $299 an eye guys who pretty much will work on anybody, Dr. Rothman brought me aside and just said it wasn't an option at the time, which I really appreciated. Now, meanwhile, he's gone on and done 60,000 LASIK procedures. I got friends in Reno down here in Las Vegas who've all seen Dr. Rothman. As a matter of fact, he is the most experienced LASIK surgeon living in Nevada today. So check out their website. It's LASIKofNV.com. Again, LASIKofNV.com. And if you mention Vegas Video Network, they're going to give you 50% off of premium LASIK plus, come here, an additional $200 off. It's a great deal,
that's
by the way. LASIKofNV.com. And we're back.
We are. It's so good.
Anything
back.
Good?
No, I was just checking Twitter real quick to see if anybody was trolling me. It happens.
Trolling you?
Yeah, you know, people troll.
Because why? Well, you're kind of an argumentative guy online.
I do. Yeah, my one of my roommates in college affectionately calls me Mr. Abrasive.
Mr. Abrasive?
Yeah. He goes, you just love to argue.
You do love to
argue.
I go,
yeah. This was back in, you know, 25 years ago. So.
Or 25 minutes ago.
No, that's true. We like that.
Hey, so real quick stories. First one up. Let me just show you how dedicated this show is to our viewers, our listeners, our audience, our fans. I love them. I love them like my own children. I really do. I spent last night not sleeping in preparation for the big show.
No, because that would be ridiculous.
Which is what I would normally do, by the way. I want to go to bed at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. So
you're
I can get
so
my
full
show.
Of crap.
Well, that may be true. But instead, don't yell at me. I visited these very nice people. That's Chris and Lorraine Scott from the UK.
Awesome.
We had our Have a Drink on Me. And they, for some reason, wanted to actually have a drink on me. So we did. And we were at the rum bar there. They were very nice. And the reason why I like them more than anybody else, That's probably a slight exaggeration. I like how you're
crediting yourself for the photo.
Well, somebody had to take it. I'm telling you, that's just legal, because if you don't put that credit, the person who took it could sue me. So he brought gifts.
Really?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I went to pay, and he's like, no, we want to give you this. I'm like, no, it's have a drink on me. I really have to do it. It's the fucking law.
It's the law.
He goes, well, we brought you some stuff. I'm like, okay. So he brought me this. They spent time in Boston and okay. the East Coast before they came here, and they brought me this beer, and I'll be honest with you.
The Maine IPA?
I forgot why they said this was really important to them or to us, but he bought me this, which I thought was very sweet. He brought me one beer. Isn't that nutty? Yeah. I love that.
All right.
And then he said, now this is for Brett.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, I don't remember why this would be of value to him, but okay. Yorkshire buttered mint toes. Does that mean something to you? Yorkshire?
Yorkshire buttered mint toes.
Did that come up in a... I can't remember if that came up somehow.
No, but it sounds... try them.
We're going to eat them right now.
Oh.
We're both going to try one.
All right.
We'll see how this goes.
I always thought the easiest way to kill somebody in broadcasting is bring them food, because we never turned down free meals and never turned down.
So he brought us this. Now he's from England. So he said
different flavored Mentos, according to Jackpot.
He said, "Oh, so he said,
he's
okay."
Still mad at you about last week's show.
What? Who's mad at me?
Jackie.
About
she
what?
Said, "I'll never trust you again after the spy story."
Oh well, fuck! I don't blame me there. I'm not. I didn't say I was trustworthy. I'm just kind of fun to hang out with. That's all. There's a difference. All right, hold on. Come on, you rat bastard. UK people, they ban
really
everything.
That hard to open? Jeez.
I've got to start lifting again.
Okay. You think that's what the problem is?
Be quiet. Oh, God.
Geez. Holy crap.
I don't know what's happening. I'm afraid these things are going to go flying all over the place. There we go. Okay. There we go. Ready? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a TKO for the bag.
There you go.
All right.
I thought they were going to be soft.
Nope.
They're not soft. So you know what? Here's my opinion. But first, let's hear yours.
it's a little minty. It's getting better.
Yeah.
Like most things in England, it lacks flavor.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
But I do appreciate the effort. Yorkshire butter minto. Okay, it's a little buttery.
Right? Yeah.
And mint, but I don't exactly know where the toes of the mint would be and why they are.
At the bottom, probably.
Toes.
Mm.
Their Yorkshire butter mintos contain only the finest ingredients amongst our pure cane sugar, glucose syrup, real dairy butter, and genuine oil of peppermint.
Mm.
Do you taste a lot of peppermint?
Not anymore.
Did you swallow it?
Nope.
You spit it out?
I removed it from my face.
Oh, you bum. We are confident that you will find both the quality and flavor of our Mentos are second to none.
Okay. So I think there was... And then he brought what I thought was one of the coolest gifts I have ever received from anybody. So there are, you know, they're all football, what we call soccer fans.
Oh, yeah.
And his team is Everton. You know that?
Yes.
So they're in the Premier League.
They are.
Right?
Yep.
And he brought me this pen.
My sons are huge fans of English Premier League.
Okay, so this is a pen with the Everton logo, which is pretty nice, right?
Right.
No, that's not what this is.
Oh, it's not?
Well, it is. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
This is one of the
I was
going
to try and get that from you for my kids.
No, you're not getting this. This one is, I'm keeping it. Daddy gets this one. Watch this. It is also...
A flashlight? Oh, nope. It's a bottle opener.
So it's a pen, right?
Right, right.
Is it
right,
a pen?
Right. Yeah.
And it's also a bottle opener.
Oh, on the side there.
And you see that?
Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay. Question is, will it work?
Well, I'm not going to do it right now. I already got one open. But yeah, oh, yeah, actually, I can feel it'll work. How cool is that?
May I see?
Nope. Okay. I don't trust you.
I'm going to run?
Maybe.
If you see me run, I'm not very fast. Oh, it's very sturdy.
It's heavy, too, right?
Yeah, very
it's classy
sturdy.
Stuff, man. I want you to take a look at class.
Oh, right there. I tell you, this is like the working man's pen.
Glenn.
Yes, I go work in the office, and as soon as 5 o'clock comes, it's fucking football and beer.
It's
all right,
awesome.
Boss, I'm out of here.
I think it's just great, right?
Very nice.
So thanks again to the lovely Chris and Lorraine. They were very, very nice.
Chris and Lorraine, I will have to maybe ask you guys as the holidays approach, to send me some Everton gear for Christmas, because that would be actually my son's.
Oh, you're
my son's. Like my both of them. Well, they're twins. Their 18th birthday is coming up about a month from now. So. Mm. They dig that kind of stuff. I will do a little investigative reporting to see if they like the Everton.
How old,
I believe they do.
How old do you have to be to go to a strip club? Is it 18 or 21?
I don't know.
Somebody in the live chat. I bet you Ted knows. How old do you have to be to go to a strip club? 18. Boom.
Well, it's Frank in Minnesota.
Well, but you know, if you're in Minnesota, what are you going to do? You're going to come here and go to a strip club. What else are you going to do? So what are you going to take your kids to a strip club?
Pop says 60.
Pops is a wishful thinking. Yeah. Was, are you going to take him?
At 18 to a strip club?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
21?
20. That's the thing. Do you want to hang around with your parents on your 21st birthday?
Both mine did.
Really?
I'm pretty cool.
I was away at college, so mine was completely different.
No, they came here. But I lived in Las Vegas. Yeah. So think about it. You're in college.
Right.
You want to cut your 21. Where do you want to go? Las Vegas.
Well, who can afford to go places when they're 21 years old unless their parents are taking them somewhere? Well,
we helped a little bit.
I know.
So we just hung out. We just partied and stuff. And I took Heather to Top of the World.
Right.
This was 8 years ago. And we went there. And I'm like, this is a great restaurant, beautiful view. It was, you know, real great. And that was the story I said. It took them 45 minutes to find Kendall Jackson Chardonnay.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, you're locals. You guys don't know any better?
As in, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah. As in, you guys don't know that this is not the place to be anymore? I'm like, well, I can well do now.
Thanks for sharing. Can I get a locals discount, please?
Yeah, right. And then, so we're hanging out on the strip, and look what I see. Those there are picketers.
Picketers.
For the Culinary Union, and they're picketing the Trump Tower. I wrote, good luck with that.
And they are picketing it because?
Well, that's Melissa asked the same question. I think, well, they used to have a bar.
They got tired of picketing the Venetian and Sands?
Well, and all of the station casinos. So I'm like, well, what do they got over there? I think they used to have a restaurant. I don't know if they still do. They used to have like a breakfasty thing. I don't know if they still do. They had a bar. I don't know if they still do. So I can't figure out what the hell they're picketing. And quite frankly, do you really think Donald Trump gives a shit what those people think? And I'm going to answer you. No.
Right.
And the other thing is, I think those guys are a bunch of terrorists. Now, I'm sure this is going to piss off a bunch of people. But they've done some things to friends of mine that are just some of the classless things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I think most activists in the country, whether you are a activist for a left-wing item or a right-wing item, I think most activists probably could be classified as terrorists because they're on the far, far fringe, and they're trying to strike fear into people who either don't know any better or can't get out of a situation.
That's exactly right.
So when you walk into, I mean, I'm trying to think of a specific situation, but you could take the current thing across the country, the Black Lives Matter movement, which is a fringe part of that. And they're basically shouting down political speech in at Bernie Sanders' places, at other rallies, even people who are on the Democratic side who probably agree with what they're talking about most of all. And if you say all lives matter, you're considered to be a racist because you're not saying that Black lives matter. It's just silly.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking Trump's going to be like, I don't care about anything that you say. And I've got a single restaurant. I mean, I really don't know that they have a restaurant anymore. I don't know what the hell they're going to be. Maybe does the Culinary Union bring room service?
Probably.
I don't know. But, you know, come on.
And I have no idea if the Trump Tower in town is a union establishment. I don't even know.
Well, clearly not.
I have not stepped foot in there probably in a decade.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
A relative of mine stayed there once, and that was about I was in the lobby once.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was pretty, too. You wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, today, the POTUS, the president of the United States, it was in Las Vegas. And I just thought that was it, and I don't have anything bad or nice to say about this. I was just kind of, first of all, would you guess that this was in Las Vegas? Look at the trees. Look at the green. Look how nice it is,
isn't
right?
Isn't it pretty?
It's a very nice neighborhood. I have no idea where this is, but the president and his motorcade is obviously going through a residential neighborhood in
Las
Vegas.
That's the president right there, by the way.
So I don't know exactly where he's going.
The president. That's the president.
If he's going, he's apparently going to a private residence. Here's the interesting thing about this. Now, the camera, as Scott shows, now, how big is a normal presidential motorcade? I don't know. I've never seen one in person. This one had 10 motorcycles, 9 cyclists at the front and 1 in the back. There's also one on the far left side of the screen who's blocking off this choke point right there on the far left. You see a body there. Yep. He's on a motorcycle. Yep. So it's really 11. There's 22 vehicles that'll go through the entire procession. I thought I was watching a funeral, including police,
yep,
fire,
yep,
ambulance,
yep,
SWAT,
yep,
Metro, Highway Patrol, Sheriff's Department, and of course, the president. That's a lot of people.
You have an opinion on that?
No, I just don't know if it's normal to be that big. So that's part of my question. Is that standard operating procedure for when the president goes anywhere?
Well, why wouldn't it be?
Why would Las Vegas be special?
Why wouldn't it be standard? Why would they do it special here?
So I'm assuming it probably is standard.
I think so.
But when you see the president roll around other places, I don't see that much stuff times. I've never seen one in person.
I don't know that you see a full, what do you call it, procession?
Yeah, procession, like a funeral procession. Right. I called it a procession.
I don't know that you see a full thing. And actually, when I saw that video, okay, I got the impression that in the video, they were kind of like, wow, that seems like a little overdone. And
is there always a fire engine going along with it?
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But here's what I thought. It doesn't really matter who the president is. This is about the office, not the person.
Right.
So if they want to put 10 cops and 4 fire engines and a partridge in a pear tree and a guy from Cirque du Soleil doing flips behind him, I don't give a fuck. If that's what the office deserves, fucking light them up,
baby. I don't have a problem with it either. I was just curious. You know, the interesting thing to me is we got stuck once at the airport. This was not during the Obama administration. I believe it was during the Bush administration. We were flying to San Francisco, and our flight was like at 4:00 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Right.
And the president was in town making a speech. It might have even been Clinton. How long was Clinton president until? He was here until 2000, right? So it might have been right around there. It might have been 99 because our kids were just little tykes. Yes. Actually, it probably was Clinton.
Right.
Because I'm trying to think of the time frame. It's the first time we ever left our twins with somebody else. Kathy and I were going away for a weekend. We got stuck at McCarran for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because the president was in town. Here's what I don't understand. Okay, the president comes into town. He flies into the airfield. Okay, that's fine. Shut down the airport. Understand. But then he leaves the airfield. The airport's still closed,
right,
until the president goes back. Not that he's there for 8 hours, but if he's there for just a short trip, they're shutting it down for a couple of hours before his arrival and a couple of hours prior to his departure. So you've got a huge backlog,
right,
especially in an airport like Las Vegas. Why doesn't, if you're in a touristy city like Vegas, why don't they fly into a private airfield?
Because of the size of the plane. So the nearest.
Well, you could go to. You could land that plane at the executive thing right down there. Mm. You could land it where there and just drive it over there.
Well, you could. But he's got to take off from the. Can't go to North Las Vegas. You can't do Henderson. You can't because it's too big. It's 727 or whatever it is. It's too big.
No, it's big. I know. You could land at McCarran and then once you touch ground, roll it over to the executive terminal.
That. I think you could do that. I think you can. Yeah.
And then take it over there.
I don't do a lot.
How about Nellis? How about he lands at Nellis?
Maybe he should be able to do that.
I mean, there's airfields all over the country.
Nellis, you would think. I think in the Bay Area, what's that? Hey, Jackie, what's that airport? The military base, Moffett. I think he lands at Moffett, which is a completely military base. There's no, it's not SFO, it's not San Jose.
The interesting thing is if Donald Trump does become president, Air Force One will be like a Volkswagen for him, right?
I'm not flying in the face of shit.
I'm fucking slumming it. What the hell's going on around here?
I got to take a quick break. I got to say this, man. We got Neil Mitchell in the house, for the love of God. Neil Mitchell currently is in the UK. He's my bestest friend. And it's 4 in the morning, and he loves us so much.
He got up early.
He's watching. And by the way, Neil,
he stayed up late.
You missed it. No, he's got actually some special things going on in his life right now. Hey Neil, you ever heard of Everton, the football team? Just got a gift from one of our viewers. We had a drink on me thing, and it's a bottle opener. It's a pen and a bottle opener. Does Swindon Town have one of those, brother? Come on now, Neil. I want a Swindon Town 10 bottle opener, please, for the love of God.
From
Let's
Liverpool.
Make this happen.
Get him a Liverpool.
Hey, I have to tell you the thing.
How about a Tottenham? Give me some Tottenham.
Neil took, so we were in England, and Neil took us to a game. Hey, Neil, where was that? It was Swindon Town against another team. It was such a funny thing.
Neil
was,
cracks open the bottles with his teeth.
Well, that's so funny. Leicester. I know I'm pronouncing it Leicester. So we went to, I got to tell this story. It was so funny. So we're in England. We're hanging out with Neil and Sarah. And they're like, you got to go to a proper game, a proper football game. I'm like, great. So we're going to go to Swindon. Right, right. Now, Swindon they're kind of a rough trade. Although I just noticed that they were fourth place last year, which is one away from being promoted. That must have made you crazy,
as
Neil.
Opposed to relegated.
That's right. Look at us. Yeah. We are stuck.
We are awesome.
We sound like we're talking
I've been
about,
trying to get the Cubs relegated for years from Major League Baseball.
But it's so I'm like promoted real good. Yeah, fuck. We understand the whole soccer thing. So we go to this Leicester.
It's a great idea.
Leicester, that's it. It is. It's a brilliant
it's a great idea.
Sports idea.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant
I love it. I think it's
sports
fantastic.
Idea. Oh, it really is.
If your team sucks, guess what? You're moving down. And we're bringing up, hey, the 51s are having a great year. We're moving them on up.
I was reading about this a couple of days ago. Yeah, I'm going, that's so clever. Okay, anyway, so we go see Leicester. That's the way you pronounce it. So Swindon, they're kind of rough. They're a rough group, you know. You know, Neil would tell me stories. Yeah, when I was a kid, we'd go to the pitch, and basically we went there not to watch the games as much as to get into fights with whoever the other team was, and we would just beat the shit out of them, and they'd beat the shit out of me. I'm like, okay, great story, except for this. I'm pretty, and I'm not a fighter, right? I'm a guitar guy.
Yeah, so I need like fingers.
He's like, let's go to Leicester and go watch this. We go to Leicester, it's a beautiful place, and they're like, okay, you're only allowed to go in this one place. Well, first of all, we go to a bar, and Neil's like, okay, stay close.
Right, right.
What the fuck you mean, stay close? We just like want to stay with our own people. Well, that sounds fair enough. So we do our own thing. We go to the place, and he's like, okay, we can only go in this one entrance. You know those cow entrance things?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like that. I'm like, that doesn't seem very nice to us. There's no lights on. They have the lights for everybody else, but we're in the dark. I'm like, this is kind of fucked up. So, but it's like kind of, I'm like, this is kind of cool. And it's also freezing. It's cold.
Right.
So we get in, we get a wedge, a little wedge in the corner, far away. And these guys are crazy. They're yelling and they're screaming and they're singing all these songs. And I'm like, yeah, I'm with the ruffians. I'm never with the ruffians.
It's for your own protection.
Look at me.
Much as anything else.
I'm kind of a badass right now.
Right, right.
So we're playing, and I even forgot if we won or lost. But it was really fun to watch. And they had cops all around us on both sides of our little section. I'm like, they actually are.
And Leicester City is one of the better stadiums.
Yeah, it was a real nice stadium. It was real nice. So then we get out, and it's all muddy. It's a crappy day, and it's like, okay, let's go. And you know the zipper rule, right? In America, the zipper rule is cargos, right? So we're in there, and now, you know, we're in England, which means that Neil is on this side driving, and I'm in the front on this side where we normally drive, and we're coming up. And so these cars are doing this way. We're in a tributary. We're trying to get in the main thing. So a couple cars. We're like, oh, okay, here we go. And we get there. A couple cars goes by. And this one car is here. And he starts to make this move. And Neil is not to be toyed with. So Neil looks at him. I can still see this in my head today. Because I think I might have pissed myself a little bit. Neil puts the thing in gear. I mean, in park. Like he's going to get out. I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I'm going to get into a fight. I'm going to get into a soccer fight. Well, fuck, here we go.
Really?
So he puts it in. He grabs his door. I'm like, okay. Look at the guy. And it's like a guy and his dad or something. And I'm like, well, I think we might have a chance. And the guy and the dad, they don't look at me. They're like, American pussy. He looks at Neil. He goes, that guy's fucking from Swindon. He will fuck us up. And he went, and they pulled back. And we pulled right in. I'm like, and that was my soccer fight, everybody.
We won.
My work here is my work here is
no
done.
Punches thrown.
Yeah, but it was nuts. Okay, so guess what else I did?
You were like Mr. Maytag over the weekend as well.
I'm a pimp.
What was the guy's name from WKRP in Cincinnati? That Mr. Carlson, the actor's name, who became Mr. the Maytag repairman.
He was. And the Maytag guy now is a real good-looking guy.
Yeah, yeah, but it used to be Mr. Like, Carlson. What is his name? Oh, good Lord. I'm losing my mind. Somebody help me out there.
We did lose that fight. We lost that game.
No, yeah. What's his real name? Gordon Jump? Is it Gordon Jump?
Yeah. So Melissa comes to me this weekend and goes, our washing machine is leaking. I'm like, what do you mean?
Water. Not a good sign. Luckily, you didn't flood the house.
Right. She goes, there's water in the front corner. I'm like, okay, no problem. Uh-oh, I'm going to go. And actually, I came out. She was on the phone with our home warranty people who I just stopped paying. It was due. It was renewed.
Oops.
It was supposed to be renewed. Actually, they had. I could have renewed it and it would have worked out. And she's like, well, you know, I need to have it looked at today, not in a week from now or whatever. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? How can I help you, young lady? She goes, well, you know, our washing machine's got a problem. I'm like, well, yeah, I'll take a look at it. So I take the washing machine. And have you ever taken apart a washing machine?
Yes.
Okay. So I haven't. So I look at it and go, well, you know.
How about this? I watched a guy take it apart after my entire downstairs flooded.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I look at it and go, well, this can't be so fucking hard. So I pull the washing machine away from the wall so I can get behind it. My plan is I'm going to take off the back cover.
Right.
So I can see what's happening in there. Okay. So I'm starting to take out screws. Let me just say something. Here's your buddy Scott giving you a tip. You can't take off the back cover of a washing machine. They don't come off. That's what everything else hooks up to.
Correct.
Don't take off the back cover. Don't try. Because here's what I did. I'm like, well, let me get on the O2. I'll figure it out. And I said, how do I take off the back? I usually wrote back cover, whirlpool, removal. All these videos, and they're like, nope. That's not what you do. It's very easy.
You take it off the top.
It's on the front. I'm like, yeah. Oh, for fuck's sake. So I put it back. I pop off the top. I get the thing, and I pull the thing out. I'm like, look at me. I am a mother. I'm pimp.
I saw the picture.
I'm a pimp.
You have a picture? Show me the picture.
I got video.
Oh, video.
I'm like, okay. So what I want to do is I want to run this thing so I can see it leak with everything off. So I had to bypass the switch for the lid, right? So I'm an electrical guy. I really am actually an electrical guy. So I put a jumper in the switch. I actually, when I took off the top thing, there was a schematic that explained the entire washing machine. I'm like, right. And I could read it. I'm like, oh, that's how you do that. So I jumped the switch. I'm like,
they're amazingly uncomplicated.
They're super simple.
Yeah.
There's not much going on.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, this is easy. So I open it. I say, okay, well, let's do a super small thing because I don't really know what's going to happen with the whole cover off this thing. I start it up. And and here's what I saw. Yep.
Upside down.
I was upside down. So you know, the only reason why I'm showing you this is because I made fun of people saying, don't send me upside down videos. And guess what I did? I sent an upside down video.
Nice.
Here's what happened. Nothing. The leak didn't happen. I ran a full load open like that. I did an empty load like that. The leak never happened. And what I think what happened was, Melissa said, well, I had a really heavy load. And I think what happened was, you know, those there's not really, they're not really closed
probably
in.
Went over the top.
Just over the top.
Right.
That's what I think happened. So I'm like, and when I thought that, I'm like, I am Mr. Maytag.
Yeah, I'd be mad going, that's way too much work to find out that put too much clothes in there.
Well, see, it actually is really easy. It's tip, you pull a couple of things off and it comes right off. Right so there. I actually said to her, if it happens again, don't clean it. Just let me know. I'll pull that thing off in 5 minutes. I got it completely figured out. I'm actually going into a whole new thing. This is our last show, by the way.
I was wondering why there's all these washers sitting outside.
That's right.
Apparently, you're collecting them and trying to fix them all.
Exactly. So I figured, you know, if this whole online broadcasting thing doesn't work out, guess what I'm doing?
Yeah, Danny would guess that your wife was horny after watching you do that work.
Wow. That's awesome. As a matter
no wonder I haven't gotten laid in a long time. I never
I can't speak to that, but let's just say.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. After I got done
working on it. No wonder my handyman has always got a big smile on his face. After, son of a bitch.
After I got done working on it, whenever I talked, I sounded like this.
Hello, baby.
Yeah, barely white right. voice.
Would you
like
me to clean your pool? I think you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, come on. I like the low voice better. All right. All right. Now it's time for. Chat questions.
Oh, all right.
But first, we have a, you know, at the beginning of our chat questions, we always take a review of something. And we've got a review from Stuart. Stuart, also from the UK. This show is primarily watched in the United Kingdom.
It is like the number one rated show.
It really is the number one show in the United Kingdom.
It's very popular.
Nothing but United Kingdom people watch us. And so Stuart was here a couple of weeks ago.
Popular in York.
Yes, indeed. Liverpool. The kids like us there.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, you know, he went and saw Showstopper. Do you know Showstopper?
Here in town?
Yep.
No, I didn't.
So Showstopper is Steve Wynn. It's Steve Wynn Showstopper. And the premise of Showstopper is he picks the best songs from Broadway and plays just the best songs from Broadway.
All right, right? Interesting.
32-piece orchestra, 15 singers. Yeah, it's, you know, they're spending a crap load of money on advertising. And so I said, Stuart, and Stuart is a, you know, Broadway guy. He's a, you know, he's a fancy guy. He goes to all the fancy places. And I'm like, Stuart, this is kind of a big deal. And Melissa went to it with him. And Melissa came back. She's like, oh, it was just lovely.
Lovely.
She loved it. She's okay. Like, oh. I said, Stuart, how about you? And he's like, I'll write to you and tell you what I thought about it. I'm like, oh, fuck. This is not very good. Here's what Stuart wrote. Because I was thinking more about why I did not like Showstoppers. Whoop, gave it away.
Yeah, you did.
And how it could have been better. Better choices of songs and better singers, clearly. But I think there is a fatal flaw in the concept. The idea of a climax or showstopper in a show is partly that it stands out from the rest of the show and partly that it is an emotional peak. You have gone through the journey with the characters to get ready for this big full force solo. Climax after climax after climax, well, it loses its special appeal. Big stage pieces with lots of singers, dancers are different. They are mainly about the spectacle, and the Wynn version was not spectacular enough in these set pieces. I mean, it is Vegas, so he's comparing it to other Vegas stuff. Plus, I think a little bit of the context for each show and each song would have been good. A Steve voiceover, for example, or some of the lead in dialogue for the show. And then he listed about 15 different ideas for what would make a good show. And no. I'm like, I can't watch all those shows. But so right. I can't go now.
Because Stu didn't like it?
Because Stu didn't like it.
But your wife already saw it. That's the other part. Your wife already saw it. So now it's like, well, thanks for taking me along. You know, my kids went and saw a movie and they go, you guys know I wanted to go see that movie. Your mom will never go see that movie with me. Now I got nobody to go with.
You know why I didn't go?
Because you weren't invited?
Because I was here with you.
Oh, it was last Tuesday night?
Oh, two Tuesdays.
Well, you had a great night. The question is, would you have had a better night at Showstoppers?
Two Tuesdays I had a great night?
I thought it was last
Not last,
Tuesday.
No, the night before that.
Two Tuesdays.
No, two Tuesdays I had an anal probe. Or last, wait, whoops. Did we tell that part?
I think we
Shit,
did.
Shit, I thought we weren't supposed to talk about that. Okay, here's our first question from the live chat. Danny wants to know, what do you have to say about me warning people about Criss Angel's show based upon your review, which I think I gave it a medium.
If that was medium, I hate to see a crappy review.
I'm exaggerating. Okay. And then having my friends like it anyways and getting pics. I assume that she means that people
bought
are sending
pictures.
Your pics. Oh, are you saying that they bought pictures there? Oh, for fuck's sake. All right. Here's what I think about that. Sometimes you just have to leave your friends and never talk to them again. I don't mean this to everybody. There are some friends that you got to give them latitude. I have friends like that. They're like, okay, you're a little crazy bastard, but I still kind of like it. We'll still hang around. But if somebody goes to Criss Angel's show and comes back to you and says, oh, man. Oh, they took pics. Oh, I see what you're saying. They took pics because you're not allowed to take pics. That was their thing. And they come back and they say, wow, that was really a good show. Those people are either meth addicts, and you can't trust a meth addict. They're untrustworthy. They'll be fascinated by big magic bullshit. Or they're drunks.
No, or both.
Right. And I'm, you know, I'm fond of people
maybe
who
method
drink.
Actors.
No, I don't know. So, and if they took pictures, I'm surprised they weren't arrested given all the bullshit they were saying there about you can't take pictures. But like I said before, listen, this is it says it's a Cirque show. The only thing that he made disappear was Cirque. There wasn't a Cirque thing in the whole fucking show. That was gone. Congratulations, Chris. You made that disappear.
Yeah.
He did tricks that. You could literally go online and probably figure him out. He does tricks that I said before my camera does, and fuck, I'd rather watch Mike do that trick from this far away than try to watch what's his name do it with a steady cam bullshit that it was horrible. So I would just say whoever those people are, don't trust them. By the way, if you're thinking of inviting one of those people onto your show, Danny, I'd recommend against it.
That's Criss Angel or one of the people who like the show?
The people who like the show, because we can't have those people. If Chris wants to come on, I'll talk to him.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I'll talk to him.
You might hit the gym for a little while.
Mm.
Say, Chris, what happened to Cirque du Soleil? I thought they were part of your show.
Right. So what part of Cirque
When did you make
show?
Them disappear?
Right. And I think he would like that because I've heard that he's a real friendly fella.
Yeah, exactly. I heard you say that before.
Yeah, I've heard real good things about it. All right. Mike Q wants to know, this is crazy. I think Mike has got to stop drinking during the show. What is the official face shaving style of Vegas Video Network, i.e. straight edge, safety, multi-blade? We'll start with you, Brett.
Straight blade, no, haven't done, although I have talked with my friends about going down and doing a dude's afternoon and getting the full shave. Yeah, and because I've never really done that before. I'd like to go do that once with the hot towel and all that good stuff. I've always been, here's the odd thing about me. I am I use a razor.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's not but very I odd. Never, ever use shaving cream.
Neither do I. I do it in the shower.
I just do it over the sink and put some hot water in my face. I try never to shave on the weekends unless I'm going to a wedding or a funeral.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
Yeah.
I do have an electric razor, which I use now.
I've never been able to use one.
It don't work. Well, I just, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
But for me, and I appreciate this question, now you're going to get a little bit of the behind the scenes. When I shave, I'm naked.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank
there you have it. I'm in a shower. My shower is unusually large. So I could dance while I'm shaving.
That might not be safety issues.
It really isn't safe. Yeah. That's how I hurt my elbow. But that's for another story.
Yeah, wait about that one.
Don't want to talk. By the way, you want to know how wide? So I have a bathroom. No shit, Scott. Well done.
How many bathrooms?
Congratulations on having a bathroom, Mr. Whitney. Actually, indoor plumbing. Well played. And the bathroom has a separate, you know, little room for the toilet.
Right, right.
You know how wide that room is? It's this wide.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's the funny thing about those things. It's like, oh, here's your private place to go to the bathroom, which is great, but
I like that.
You can't get in there. I mean, as a man, you're going, I mean, literally, let's just say you were in a hurry, okay? And you didn't close the door first. You can't close it because your knee, the door is literally at your hip.
I'm not sure where this story is going.
Every one of these things is. I'm just saying that they're never quite big enough.
I just know that there was one day that happened where I was peeing. I thought, I wonder how wide this place is. I wonder if somebody asked me, I could tell them. I'm like, well, I'm peeing. And my elbows touched. I'm like, look at that. This is how wide that room is.
Yeah.
I sure hope somebody asks me this question one day. You have a bathroom? Yeah. You have one of those separate rooms? Yeah. How big is it? It's about this big.
It's that big.
Yeah, that's right. It's that big, baby. Okay.
I was with the radio the other day. I didn't close the door. Closed it all the way, and I was standing there using the restroom, and she looked next to me, and she looked at me, and she looked next to me, and she decided to take a leak as well. So
that's no good.
Yeah, no, it's like, well, I couldn't really stop her at the
time.
That's
when you realized, girl,
we're still working on this. Yes, what happened to your penis? You should stand up. We should be able to do this.
I must say, another international person in the live chat, unbelievable. From
Kiwi.
New Zealand, somebody, Kiwi Kim is in the live chat. This is unbelievable.
Well, she's like watching it tomorrow.
Right.
Like three days from now.
Should probably tell us, is this show any good?
Yeah. She's in
tomorrow.
The Redcliffe Peninsula north of Brisbane, Australia.
Wow.
Awesome. Welcome to the show.
That's just cool. We've got the UK.
Yes, and here we are talking about urinating.
Well,
this is great stuff.
All right.
But
I'll tell you what, if we were in Italy and we had one of the, you can't do this. You can only do this. Have you been to Italy?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a bathtub in Italy?
They're tiny.
You know why there are no fat Italians? Because you can't sit the fuck down in the bathtub.
There's not a whole lot of fat people in San Francisco either, because they're walking everywhere.
But I tell you, they got plenty of other
problems.
Easy. We were in Italy, and I'm like, okay, here we are. And I was kind of freaked out the whole time, because, by the way, they don't speak English, and that kind of made me a little nervous, those little fuckers.
Well, luckily, my wife speaks Italiano.
Well, that's pretty neat. So we're at some hotel, you know, it's probably 500 fucking years old. Who knows what it is? And I'm like, okay, well, let's take a bath. And so I go to, you know, take a bath, and I sit down, and it's literally squeezing my hips, and it's got jets in it. So I'm like, well, what? You're going to put holes in me. You're going to actually puncture my fat fucking hips. Well, so I'm like, all right, that's it. We never go to Italy again because of that.
We stayed in a 14th century farmhouse outside of Florence.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's neat.
It was. We had a great time. Did not have air conditioning. We were there in the summer, but at night it cooled off.
So this is very much like...
Well, during the day we were gone the whole time. I mean, we were out visiting cities and driving around Firenze and doing all that kind of fun stuff. And at night you kind of, you know, you kind of sweat for a little while before it's like, okay, finally I'm going to fall asleep. And you pray for a breeze. You're like, okay, that's good.
Kind of like this.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is from Frank. Frank's a first time person in the live chat. Big hand for Frankie. Yeah. Frankie wants to know, hey, I've only stayed on the Strip, and I have never stayed downtown. I want to stay downtown on the next trip. What downtown hotel would you recommend to pop my downtown cherry? Do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I think the obvious choice would be the Golden Nugget for the fact that it's probably the nicest hotel down there. Has the most to offer, most restaurants, has a great pool, has very good entertainment there on site, obviously a center of Fremont Street where all the action is. Yep. Although, you know, I've heard people say they've stayed, you know, like for example, Hawaiians love the California. They'll stay down there at the California because they get great deals when they come from you know, because Las Vegas is the eighth island.
It is the eighth island.
So there's that part of it. So I think if you want to be in the middle of the action, what I would suggest is the Golden Nugget is really kind of the Bellagio of downtown. You're right there, smack dab in the middle of it all.
I completely agree with it. And that's the real question is, you know, where did you stay when you stayed on this trip? Right. So if you said, well, I stayed at Stratosphere, I'm like, oh, well, that's a little different.
Right.
Yeah, you go to the Golden Nugget, it'll be like, if you stayed at, you know, a decent hotel on the Strip, then, you know, most of the properties there they're downtown properties.
If somebody goes and they're staying on the Strip, and I'm just going to throw a name out there, they say, where'd you stay? I stayed at Bally's.
Right.
You know, or how about better? You stayed at the Riviera. Now it's gone. I can say it. You stayed at the Riviera.
Right. Oh my God. Really? You okay? Yeah. Bed bugs? How'd that feel? Right. You still scratching?
Actually, my brothers came to town, and one of my oldest brother is not. He's, I'm not gonna say he's frugal, but he was looking for a deal, and he doesn't. He goes and
I'm not gonna say he's frugal,
but they come to town to gamble and drink and have fun. And he goes to meetings and he goes, look, the only time I'm ever going to be in my hotel room is to take a shower and go to sleep.
Right.
So why would I want to spend $200 a night at the Venetian or $300 a night over here or at the Wynn when I could stay for $39 at the Riviera and scratch myself for 4 days?
Right. So he's told us he's been to New York, Planet Hollywood, Mirage. Okay. Well, there you go. Those are actually what I consider decent hotels. Yeah. Planet Hollywood actually is at times one of the nicest setups there. They have some really nice rooms that a lot of people don't know. Mirage is actually one of my favorite hotels on the Strip, bar none. Never stayed at New York. Airport Limbo has been at Vidara. I've been there before. That's a real nice property. There's no gambling at Vidara, but it's right next door to Aria, so it's actually a pretty cool place.
Right. I tell you what, you know, when I had people come to town when I was first in town, I had a nice arrangement at the Imperial Palace, and I always told them, I said, look, it's not the nicest hotel, and I can get you in there for basically nothing, but you are right in the middle of all the action. So if you want to save a lot of money and be across the street from Caesars, across the street from the Bellagio, the Mirage, next to the Venetian and Harrah's and all that, stay at the Imperial Palace. It was a great resort from the standpoint of where it was located. So the location was huge. You know, my favorite place to stay on the Strip was at the Venetian, probably, those suites there. I thought the Wynn suites are gorgeous.
Yep.
Bellagio is very nice with their suites. I'm trying to think where else I've stayed on the Strip, Mirage, and places like that. So, you know.
Yeah, I would say.
I kind of like being in the middle of it.
Me too.
Yeah.
So I think Golden Nugget's a perfect bet. And you said for us, it also depends on what's important. Like for me, a pool is very important.
Yeah.
I really like hanging out at the pool. So the best pool, arguably one of the nicest pools anywhere, may be Golden Nugget. It's not as big, but they got that big shark thing going on. Yeah. It's a very cool layout. The other thing that I might know, and maybe Ted, you might know more about this, El Cortez has done a lot of work on that property.
They have, yeah.
And I know they have, we've had actually the Perrys, Aaron and Alan, who ride in a lot, I guess they have some suites attached to the El Cortez. And they said it was pretty nice. Cabanas or no, I don't know what it is. But so I've heard good things about that, but I've never stayed actually on any property downtown at all. There's some properties that I would never go to, even if they were given to me, because I think the people who run them are fuckheads.
Right.
I won't tell you who they are. but they're fuckheads. So I won't be going to those places. But if somebody said you got to stay downtown, I would go to the Golden Nugget in a New York second.
Yeah.
Right? You know what? I'm. Do you want to say something else?
No. I like Main Street Station. Just that much. I used to.
Come on! All right, it's time for Have a Drink on Me. This is the part where we talk to you about how's it feeling?
I was just cooling myself off. I have no idea how that's feeling. It's fine. No, it's good. It's doing well.
It feels great. Yeah. It was on fire.
It was, yes.
It was literally in like fuego. We were in the middle of the show and like, is that a flame coming from the city? Oh my God, we're on fire. We're going to die. Stop it. All right. So this is Have a Drink on Me. This is the part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar that I have been to or a bar that I'm aware of. And if you can guess the place, well, you win some pretty groovy stuff. Really? Is that even possible? It is. Tell them what they might win.
Oh, well, sure. Unless you listened last week, you have a chance to win things. Last week, you won nothing.
Go fuck off.
But here we are with the fabulous Vegas Video Network visor coming in multiple colors, including black. Or Scott's wonderful original music. Good jazz-a-thon. And, you know, the holidays are 90 days away. It's Christmas Acoustic 1 and 2. Or you can do what the folks from England did. Have a bottle of water on Scott. Or do they waterboard you? What did they do?
Thank you. That's what happens if you're a winner. Here. Now, this is an extension of last week's game. As we said before.
Yep.
We got started last week. The NSA came on board and they shut us down.
I just finished my first mint. I did the whole thing.
Wow.
It did last a long time.
Holy, what was as big as a freaking...
A toenail. I tried not to bite it because I thought for the microphone it wouldn't be very good.
That was very nice. Yeah.
We'll have to leave these here for you to enjoy for future.
You don't want them? I would like for you to have them.
I didn't say I didn't.
If you would like to take them to work.
This is where I work. So we'll just leave them here on Tuesdays.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are not going to go anywhere. Okay. So we...
They'll be part of the bar.
Last week, we got started with this. We were making good progress with this. Everything was good. Remember, there's a couple rules. If you're in the live chat and you have a correct answer, we double your entries because we love live chat people. If you can show the Gajazzathon CD in the wild being used, then guess what? We also double your entries. And before we do anything else, we must speak to the galaxy of gods. Pops, Sammy, that cool guy, Jackie, Christina, Brett's dad,
hey, Pop.
Don, Wayne, Mike. Oh, hold on. And Danny. There's Michael. And the guy who sits across from me. There's the Gajazzathon in the wild. There's another thing in the wild. How great is that? Okay. All right. So we had a bunch of people guess for our last week. We had 14 of 16 correct ones. Last week's Have a Drink on Me was right. Don't tell me. Right there. That was last week's. A lot of confusion.
Confusing. Was it didn't get an answer last week?
Well, all right. That's enough out of you. A lot of confusion. The hints were for math fans, its name is divisible by 2 and 5. It's a great bar to find Bo Derek. And it's not owned by a ruby, but something similar. The answer is Table 10, everybody. Which is located somewhere between Venetian and Palazzo. And
it's right upstairs. Kind of thing there at Restaurant Road next to Sushi Samba and Grimaldi's and some other very nice restaurants.
So we got all the names in the hat here with the exception of one. Did you?
I did add it, yes.
Okay. Just and so. I've got one more that we have to add, and that, of course, is Danny. Right when we went to say duh, then the NSA knocked us offline.
I added her. I did.
I saw that. But Danny also... I hadn't put hers in there.
Okay.
But Danny, God bless her little heart, included an email, a poem... And of course, we read all poems.
It's not a sonnet, is it? Because
By the way, she used to be a musician, and she's a songwriter, and that's why this comes so easy to her. So because of that, we're going to penalize her because it's too easy. No.
You know, I hate math, but your clue did reveal this week's Haddam Bar. It has some appeal. Mm. she missed the period at the end of appeal, hey, or at not, least the be, start of a new
she's
sentence.
She's like C.M. Cummings or what
to
that guy
To those
is.
Who love Emerald or Ruby, he's not. Table 10 is the place. I hear it's quite hot. Again, short and pithy, like a chiclet, if you will. I'm going for a drink, a double, since Scott foots the bill. Thanks for another fun Tuesday Night Expo, the second best Vegas Video Network show.
Oh! Wow.
Expo show, expo show.
Yeah,
expo
so show. Sometimes rhyming is hard, and the fact that she would actually...
The fact that she doesn't use any periods or...
C, who's the guy, the poet, C.M. Cummings, some poet who does everything in lowercase, none of those dot things.
C.C. Ryder.
Nobody knows. C.C. Ville. Did I tell you that I met him?
Yeah, you told me he's a tiny little guy.
He's about this big.
He's a tiny
little guy. He's a pocket guitar player.
This is his platform right here.
E.E. Cummings, there it is.
E.C.C.
And he's about this big, and we saw him at the Hard Rock, that drunky pool thing, rehab.
Right.
And he was wasted out of his gourd. And he was just like, oh, man, hey, what's happening? I'm like, wow, dude, you are as big as a minute. Okay, so let's pull a winner.
Oh, that's your job, isn't it?
I will.
You got to shake him up and then pull
it. Yeah, let's shake it up and pull a winner, or however that goes.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Oh, I'm shout.
Rehab. Okay, here it is. We're hoping for good news for you people.
Who are we rooting for?
Well, we're always rooting for people in the live chat.
We have never won before.
And as a matter of fact, to remind us, Pops, if he wins, who has won? I think he's
won. We're giving it to Kiwi Kim.
There you go. Well, she didn't put in.
I don't care.
She didn't put in. Have you heard that before, Kim?
Is she still there?
She's probably, let me just see if she's left. She's probably like, that fucker. Why would he say that to me? It's the Kiwi. Oh, she's stolen. Well, we'll put an end to that. All right, here we go. Let's find out our winner for Have a Drink on Me last week, 2 weeks ago, however that
went. Here we go. Here and the winner is. This winner one seems is. To be sticking to my hand. The answer is Erin Perry.
Oh, she's my God. Done they it. Finally win.
She's done it.
Erin.
She
what?
Was. This is the perfect example of the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Because didn't Alan just win?
She did. He did
and
just win.
Right. And actually, now she was basically saying, I've had it with this man. I'm divorcing him unless I win.
That's right.
And an Erin.
We have
saved. Who's your buddy? Who's your buddy? Who's your pal?
We saved another marriage.
Who's your pal?
We saved another marriage.
We did. Aren't we awesome?
I remember her email.
People
she
come
said,
to Vegas for quick marriages and quick divorces. They also come for quick remediation. We took care of it.
Dear Scott and Brett, just to remind you guys, you probably forget this from last week because it actually didn't happen. I mean, we forgot to read it. Dear Scott and Brett, Alan won last week, and while I can't stop him from bragging and being so happy about it, we will be taking a drink on you, Scott. We're looking forward to that. However, I'm leaving him. I've had enough of his shit. All he does is brag. He made a movie. He's heard good jazzathon. I can't have it. The only way that I can equal this relationship is if I win too. Please cheat if you have to, but make sure I win.
That's amazing how you just memorized that from 2 weeks ago. That's excellent because it's pretty much what it said. Yeah,
it's a gift, though.
That's very good.
I don't like to brag, but that's a gift. All right, here comes.
We know you're very good at lying. Ooh, we have this week's Haddam. Okay, good.
What's really funny about the live chat right now is that there were a lot of people saying, you know, I really don't want to have a conversation with Scott anymore because he's such a good liar that he scares me. I got people, I don't want to play cards with him. By the way, I'm a shitty card player. You should play cards with me. I will lose just so you feel good. Okay, here is this week's Have a Drink on Me.
Ooh.
This, by the way, took place during a Have a Drink on Me meeting. How about that for pretty cool? Now, have you looked at this?
I did a minute ago, yes.
Okay, would you have known?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is with Glenn and Kelly Santa. They had won a Have a Drink on Me a little while ago, and they actually picked this particular bar. I had never been in this bar before, and it was a really pretty cool find. Here's hint number one. Just like Pinocchio, this bar is named after a toy that wants to be real. Just like Pinocchio, this bar is named after a toy that wants to be real. Number two, if you're a fan of the movie Fatal Attraction, this bar may have a certain boiling appeal.
I do like that
to
clue.
You. Thank you.
I do like that clue.
Thank you very much. If you're a fan of Fatal Attraction, the movie, this bar may have a certain boiling appeal to you. Hit number three, If your idea of downtown is Fremont, well, this is not in downtown, but it really is in downtown. If your idea of downtown is Fremont, well, this is not downtown, but it really is. And an extra hint, because I love all of you people, and we've got an international live audience today. My favorite drink there was the Fox.
Which was?
What do you mean?
Well, what is the Fox?
What was in it? It was kind of a sour-y drink, so it was not really a Moscow Mule. It was much more. They're actually a mixology-based kind of bar.
Okay, cool.
I tried another drink that was really alcohol-y tasting. I didn't really care for, but you could tell like these guys are really kind of into their alcohol.
Cool.
But the Fox was my favorite drink there. Okay, again, if you want to play along, you're going to send your email to where?
To have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. That's have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Now you got me thinking of Fatal Attraction, and I do like Ann Archer in that movie.
Yeah.
She was gorgeous. Glenn Close is not an attractive woman to me at all.
Well, she's kind of creepy.
Yeah. So I think she played the part very well. Yeah. I didn't like her in The Big Chill. I just thought she was kind of,
she's creepy. You know what she is? She's affected. You know what I mean by that?
No.
So some actors like that, people who when they speak like this all the time.
Right.
It's affected. So okay. She's like that person. I've seen her being interviewed for other like documentaries, and she's always really enunciating, doing this kind of, it's so important that the casting director gets credit. Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's like baseball announcers when they have a Hispanic player coming to the plate. Here's Jose Hernandez. Say Hernandez for crying out loud. Stop. Here's Rodriguez. Well, first of all, no one calls Alex Rodriguez. Alex Rodriguez. You just say, you don't have to roll your R's. Just say Rodriguez. It's fine. We all know who he is. But the guy that has to do it drives me batshit crazy.
And he's always Spanish. Yes. By the way, this have a drink on me. The live chat is corn-fused.
Nah, boom. Some people say you totally gave it away. Well, which you did, Jackie if you're did. Paying attention.
Jackie's smart, but some of these people have been drinking. For instance, Danny's like, I'm confused, but she's drinking crap wine.
Why are you throwing Giada De Laurentiis' name up there? Giada's head is too big for her body.
She is.
Is it? She's got this giant melon.
You know
melon.
Why? Because she doesn't eat anything.
Well, she's got this giant melon.
She does this.
I know, but it's just too big for her head.
She spits shit out. I don't know, I just made that shit up. I'm probably going to get sued. You know what? Let's talk to the people.
We're going to have listener email.
Oh, finally!
Hey! Listener email. Bert! Come on! This is the first time in weeks.
We haven't done this in a
long
time.
And this will guarantee the over for folks, because we had a chance to be under the total, but no longer, because this will send us over
the
total.
We'll see. Maybe we won't do all of them. Okay. All right. So this is listener email. You send your email to, it's actually on the screen right there, onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. And we were going to answer any questions. If we don't have the answer, Brett will make it up. First question.
You're very
is
good at making stuff up.
The first question is from Nikki Scott. Do you see it on the page there?
I do. Am I reading that?
So I think it's a girl. But it might
Nikki
be a boy.
Says she's coming to Vegas for her daughter's wedding. What are tasty restaurants that don't cost an arm and a leg? Maggiano's, El Segundo Sol.
That's me. That's my answers.
Oh.
Thanks.
Sorry. Scott, your choice would be?
If I might suggest a couple.
Okay.
You probably guys haven't heard of this.
I should stop with a question mark. I apologize.
Almost the question mark almost always ends a sentence. And then the comments afterwards might be the things that we tell people.
Well,
so
can I yell at you already for suggesting the very first one?
Maggiano's?
What's a chain? That's the only thing.
So what?
Well, they might have one where they live.
So what?
Because you want to do something unique to Las Vegas.
Look, my favorite restaurant is whatever you call it. And
Capital
Grill,
I understand.
Yeah, and it's a chain, but it's the best restaurant in this damn town. I don't care if it, by the way.
It's a very nice place.
It's the best one in the world.
It's a very nice place.
This brought to you by...
Apparently,
Capital Grill.
I almost said Capital One.
Please? Okay, so Maggiano's.
By our favorite bartender, Mark Bradley. We do agree
that. That's right.
Mark's a very good bartender. No, Mark.
So but I like Maggiano's, Italian restaurant, family style stuff, reasonably priced. I like El Segundo Sol.
Very cool place. They have terrific sangria.
Yes, they do. And they're right on top of each other on the corner of the, what's that place called?
That's the Fashion Show Mall.
Thank you.
It's at...
Right across from the Wynn. And so, good food.
El Segundo Sol is on the lower level. Maggiano's second level. Capital Grill, third level.
That's exactly right. Brooklyn Bowl. This is the new place over on the Link area. They have the best fried chicken on the Strip. You heard it first.
If you wish to have fried chicken.
Yeah, if you don't like fried chicken, well, then don't order fried chicken. But if you like fried chicken, go to Brooklyn Bowl. And if you like Lori's seasoned salt, which I will take directly in my vein.
A little Lowry seasoned salt.
Then that has a Lowry seasoned salt thing. There's a couple other restaurants in the Link. Stay away from the Mexican restaurant there. Always the worst service I've ever had. I forget the name of it. I hated it so bad. And margaritas. If I order a margarita from you,
right.
And let's say I order a whatever margarita with whatever salt, just a regular margarita on the rocks salt. We went to this place. Melissa ordered. We had like three drinks over the course of an hour and a half or whatever. Every one, same drink, tasted different. It's a fucking margarita.
Right.
Those are really pretty hard to screw up. And they were like, the first one was like, well, this doesn't taste very good. But we were like, we'll just drink it. Second one, hey, that's pretty good. That's a good margarita. Let's hope for that again. Third one, not as bad as the first. Not as good as the third. Somewhere in between. I'm like,
maybe you got three different bartenders making your margarita.
What we had was, we're never coming back to that place again.
Yeah.
Okay, where would you send people?
Well, I think if you're looking for something fun on this trip, you could do the unique things. Like Mon Amiga B is a cool place to go for lunch or breakfast at Paris. You can go to...
Doesn't cost an arm and a leg.
No, it's not very expensive. It's a Mon sandwich. No, it's not expensive at all. How about something like Margaritaville?
Yep.
Something like Sammy Hagar's place down there.
Well, that's one of my favorite places to hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Now, what the hell?
I'm losing my mind all of a sudden.
That place is
down at Planet Hollywood.
Well, come on.
I know. Cabo Wabo.
Thank
you very much. So those are kind of fun places to go. On the Strip, they have outdoor dining, which in about a month will be perfect. At night, it'll be fine as well.
Here's the thing, though, and there's no question about this. If you go to McDonald's on the Strip and buy a number one meal, you will pay $1 more or $1.50 more than if you go to McDonald's 2 miles to the west,
sure,
or 2 miles, just so you know. So everything on this trip
Jackie's
is more
got a
expensive.
Good one. The Grand Lux Cafe in the Palazzo and the Venetian is also a very, very good spot.
Yep.
There's each place, each
actually the restaurant
casino in town has, a lower price offering with good food.
Yeah. So and also if you're willing to kind of leave Lago over at Bellagio. I was super surprised. I went there with Jackie. I was super surprised how reasonable the food was. We thought it was going
to
be...
hard to find. Hard to get there.
It's right in front of the... I mean, right behind the fucking water. If you can't find it, you've been drinking too much. It's right behind the fountain.
Unless I'm thinking of the other... What's the other restaurant upstairs down by the pool?
Oh, no. You're talking about the... wait. Who? Huh?
Upstairs by the pool. Yeah, it's...
No, I'm talking about Lago, which is new. And it's right by the big fountains.
Yeah.
Very well priced. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. Prime is, I think, the one that's downstairs. You got to go underneath and you got to do a secret handshake. That's where I saw Mike Tyson and he and I hung out for a little while.
I thought you said Venetian, but you meant
No, I meant Bellagio. I went to the Bellagio.
I thought you said Venetian.
No, I said Bellagio.
I thought you said Venetian.
I'll go ahead and check the tapes.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. All right. Next one, Will Lee. Will says, and both DJ and Will have a similar thought here. They both say, Scott, I'm retiring in less than a year and a half. And plan to move off the East Coast. Can you tell me why I should move to Las Vegas? Well, I can't tell you. With the water problems in California, how does it affect Las Vegas? And then he says, P.S., I'm actually moving to Vegas anyways. I don't want to live the rest of my life in the East Coast. So, this show is called Living in Las Vegas.
And DJ Mo said, I live in Missouri right now. I was wondering, Las Vegas, a great place to live.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah. So here's the deal. I will say this about that. If you're retiring, this is a less important issue. But if you're moving here and you still want to work here, look, you got to have a job.
Correct.
I know it sounds like a pretty obvious thing. But I see a lot of people coming here and kind of betting on the come a little bit. And that's... smart
a lot
anywhere.
Of people do it with Vegas anyway.
It's not smart. Like when we moved here, when Melissa and I moved here in 2005, neither one of us worked in Las Vegas. And I had just started Podworks. I was running Timberworks Music. I started Podworks here. But all my customers were online customers with Timberworks Music, and then with Podworks, the online broadcasting company, they were all in California because nobody here understood what a podcast was. Melissa was working for a company as a contract employee that was in California. So we were actually, when we moved here, we immediately got a bump in income because we weren't paying California prices
for our
house.
Of course, about 30%.
Taxes, and it was like, wow, this is... Or our house was 60% bigger and 40% of the cost. We're like, my God, this is nuts.
Right.
So that was great, but we had jobs. Mm-hmm. And I bump into people who come here and they're like, well, I'm gonna make it happen in Las Vegas. Awesome. What do you do? Well, I'm still looking.
Yeah. That's
great.
Well, it happens quite a bit.
You gotta kind of have a job.
But as Will said, he's retiring. So from Will's standpoint, I'm assuming then you're a man in your 60s. Probably you and the wife and the dog.
Yep.
Are going to come out and hang out? I think the most important factor for you would be, where do you want to live?
Yep.
Do you want to be in a senior-related community like a Sun City Summerlin or Siena, a golf course community?
Yeah, and there's three of those Sun Cities, by the way.
Hendertucky.
There's Sun City, Summerlin, Anthem, and also in Aliante as well.
But there's four. There's four. Siena.
Where's that?
That's Town Center in Flamingo.
Oh, okay.
There's obviously Sun City Anthem in Henderson. There's Sun City in Summerlin.
And then
there's, Summerlin. So you got those four options. Or if you just want to be a man amongst the people and live with the riffraff. Although, I understand if you don't, because I don't think I'd want to be a 70-year-old guy moving into a neighborhood with somebody with a bunch of 12-year-olds running around. I don't think I'd like that myself. I'd like a quiet neighborhood. We're going to go out and walk the dog. I'm 48, and that's what I want now. So who the hell am I kidding? So, come on.
So I will say this. The house that I'm in now, this is the house I'm going to die in.
Well, I saw a video... Well, your wife's going to kill you after the show. So you're probably right. The video, I don't know if you saw it or not, of the new tunnel down at Lake Mead. They're building they're putting the final straw into Lake Mead for the water, which will probably serve Las Vegas for the next 30 to 50 years. And if it never rains again or no water changes happen in that time.
Right.
So I think we're fine for a long time.
Did you say 30 to 50 years?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I believe that's what they were talking about.
Wow, that's amazing.
As former mayor Oscar Goodman used to say, we drink what we flush. What we flush in Las Vegas goes out to the waste treatment center at Lake Mead. It gets cleaned up and shot right back in your faucet and you go, that looks nice and clean.
By the way, that's going to be our new logo.
It is.
Stays in Las Vegas. No. What you drink, you flush, or what you flush, you drink. That's going to be the new thing. Yeah. I think we're going to bring more people.
That's what he talked about. You know, the other part about Las Vegas that I think is important for people we talked about a little bit, is what are your main interests?
Yep.
And how much do you want to drive around to go do those things? What's your hobby?
Yep.
What do you enjoy doing now? If you want to come out here and gamble and go to your favorite casino, that's fine. Lots of people do that.
Yep.
But I do think you want to be, if you're a golfer, you want to be near a lot of golf courses.
Yep.
If you're a bowler, you want to be near the bowling alley. Yep. If you're a gun enthusiast, maybe you don't want to drive 4 hours to go up to the range somewhere or out wherever. So I think it's important for you, if you're an outdoor enthusiast and you love bike trails, you want to be out west or down south where you're near a lot of access to bike trails.
Yeah, and by the way, it is hot here. So if you don't like, so my mom and her husband moved out here before they passed away. They didn't really take advantage of what was happening here to the extent I would like to. For example, in Summerlin, Sun City Summerlin, there's a ton of things going on for seniors.
Mm-hmm.
They have a magazine that's like this thick, full of things to do.
Right.
So if you want to get out there and do neat things, you can. And there are some really pretty places to hang out as well. But if you also want to just kind of hang out in your house, well, you can do that too.
I would have a suggestion for people who want to move to Las Vegas. Next time you come to Las Vegas as a tourist, don't stay on the Strip.
Right.
Stay at a local's casino.
Yep,
stay at the Red Rock.
Rampart.
Stay out at Rampart. At the JW Marriott.
Yeah.
Great property. Or, you know what? Rent a house for a few days. Do a vacation rental by owner and live in a neighborhood for a few days and see what parts of town you like.
Yeah, I would do Rampart. Which is in the Summerlin area, and I would do Aliante, which is up in Aliante area. Both of them are local casinos, and that'll give you a nice sense for you. And it'll give you an opportunity for you to just go out and just drive around and see what's going on. But the truth is, from a retirement perspective, like I said, we're going to retire here. We were thinking about retiring in Florida because their taxes are also similarly positive.
Right.
But it's superhuman. And I don't like that. And so we're this is it, kids. This is where we're going
to
be.
I mean, one of the things that my family and I like love to do is when we go on vacation, I rent a house. So I don't stay in hotels if I can help it. I'll go out and say, let's you want to stay on the beach? Let's see if I can get a house on the beach or a house in the mountains and just experience the neighborhood and be kind of a normal person and not have to be on crowds and that kind of stuff. And I think it's a great way to come out and look at a city and spend a weekend. You know what? Come out for a weekend and go look at houses.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
guess what?
Have a realtor.
We're going to stop at this point.
Okay.
We got these other questions. We're going to bring them in next week.
But that's what he said.
But we actually got some questions in.
Right.
I can't tell you how amazingly proud I am. Oh,
you went for the, we just barely went over.
I know, we did. We got a big over sign from Steve. By the way, Scott, you're over again. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for making me feel good. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks very much for playing along. Again, if you want to reach out to us, there are several ways to do so. If you want to send a question that we will likely never answer, you can do that by sending a question to OnAirQ, livinginlv.com. Again, OnAirQ, livinginlv.com. You know what? Maybe you want to hear your own dulcet voice on our show. And by the way, I've heard you sing. It's gorgeous. Here's what you do. You go to our homepage. Oh, those two people are pretty handsome. See that little red tab on the right side? You click it, and then, boop, a little thing pops up. You click that little green button, and guess what happens? You take your mic on your computer, and you start talking to us, and your whites will be brighter. Something will be brighter as well. Who knows? Social media, we're all over the place. iTunes, if you're watching us or listening to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review and give the other people a 2-star review. That was fucked up. I'm sorry. Don't do that. That's mean. On YouTube, please give us a thumbs up on YouTube and share us on your Twitter and your Facebook accounts. And you can also find us besides iTunes and YouTube on KSHB. Nope, lied. Roku, we've got over 31,000 channel downloads on the Roku. We're on Stitcher, we're on TuneIn, we're on Chromecast, Apple TV, Google TV, Fire TV, and VegasVideoNetwork.com. I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. I pee naked, which apparently is pretty awesome. And that's Brett Grant. Thanks so
much. Mr. Anti-Disney.
Actually, that's the next question coming up as a whole. We have a theory on why you hate Disney.
Oh, okay.
It's probably because you have no heart. You are the Grinch. Little heart problems. All right.
You're a mean
we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for playing along, everybody. Grinch. By the way, if you're in the live chat, post show coming up where we run around naked. Click it.